Amen. Thank you, ladies. I think we'll keep the verse right on this for memorizing, and then we'll go to Revelation 2:18. So we want to look at this verse here. Kind of fits along well with the song they sang there too. So let's go through this verse, Psalm 102:17. Let's go through this verse three times here if we could. Psalm 102:17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalm 102:17. Psalm 102:17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalm 102:17. Psalm 102:17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalm 102:17. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Think about it. I mean, how many important people would ever take a phone call from us? Not many. But God cares. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And then Psalm 102, or let's see here, Psalm 103, I think. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2. And once again, it goes along with the songs that we sang tonight. So let's go through this one three times. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103:2. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103:2. So let's take a couple of our other memory verses here. Get my card back here. How about Isaiah 41:10? Isaiah 41:10. Okay, let's go through this one twice. Okay, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Okay, and then Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. Okay, let's go through this one twice. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7.
Then if we could go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. And Pastor Jeremy, have you heard anything about Emily, how she's doing?
She is continually doing better.
Okay.
But she's still in the hospital. She was not able to go down to the funeral that they had in North Carolina yesterday. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't there for the burial. Mm-hmm. But 2 weeks ago? Oh, towards the end of this coming week, they think that she's going to be able to get out of the hospital. She still has to keep having therapy, but...
Okay. All right.
Swanson, though, we were able to see him every day this week.
Mm.
And day number one, he was really struggling to get around. He was also helping, but he was really struggling with his walker. Wednesday, I actually talked to him in the hallway. And so on Monday, he had started taking this grass smoothie. I forget all the green stuff that was in it. But he said on Wednesday, so he'd only taken it three times, and 70% of his pain in his shoulders was gone.
Amen.
And then by Friday, I had to go help him try to jump his vehicle on Friday, I think it was. Maybe it was Thursday afternoon. But by Friday, he was getting around a lot better than he was on Monday. It was noticeable to me.
Amen.
So just keep praying for him. He said that so far, everything has been covered by individuals and so forth.
Okay.
But he is, after he gets done with Mayo, so he had a bunch of tests done on Friday at Mayo, then there's another hospital north in Wisconsin that was going to be doing some other testing.
Okay. So this is Glenn. This is the Needham son-in-law that's just had this sudden illness come upon him. So, amen. Would you like to lead us in prayer then, please, sir? Yes.
Father, thank you for the day. We thank you for your word we can hide in our hearts. Pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just speak to us, Lord, that we'd have minds and hearts open. And, Lord, we'll just praise you for what you will do. We do pray for these who are still struggling physically. Lord, we do thank you for the word on Emily Grace and the progress that she is making. Lord, also for Brother Swanson and this need, Lord, they don't even know what it is yet. And Lord, we've seen this week how you've given some strength and some relief from the pain. And I just pray, Father, that you would heal him, lift him up. We do pray for the Needhams and the work that they have before them this week, that you'd bless and strengthen them. We just thank you for each one here tonight. And Lord, we just look to you to guide. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. Revelation 2, 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So we've been looking here in this chapter, verse 18, a look at the Lord here in regard to the church of Thyatira. And then he said in verse 19, we looked at the church. He knows their works. He knows their charity. He knows their service. He knows their faith. He knows their patience. And he mentions works again in verse 19, more than the first. Then we saw last week, he knows their sins, in verses 20 through 23. And in verse 21, as we read here, God gave her space to repent. We talked about that last Sunday night. And notice, if you hold your place here, notice with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Romans 12:19. Just a reminder to us, because we see so much wickedness going around. This last week, I read a news article that said America was being laughed at by the nations of the world. And here's this man in a Navy dress, blues uniform, you know, the ones with the stripes here on the sleeves. And so he's an older man. He's standing here in his Navy uniform, and he's dressed in a skirt and ladies' dress shoes on. And next to him is standing a man in a dress with a shaved head and with a strange look on his face. And I mean, these two people were higher level officials from our country over in Europe, representing us in something over there. And I couldn't believe it. And there's a lot of other people that couldn't believe that picture, that that's who we would send to represent us. And so in times like that, people get discouraged, and they're thinking, is there any hope for America? Well, Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, what? Avenge not yourselves, but rather give what? Place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is what? Is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So, you know, when we try to take vengeance, we're taking something that belongs to God. It's God who takes vengeance on sin. Vengeance is God's. We are to give place. We are to give God space to perform his vengeance, his wrath. And of course, what he wants and what we should want is repentance. We shouldn't want anyone to die, because God doesn't want him to die. He wants him to repent. Notice in 2 Peter 3, some, as we're going to see here, some people think that a space of grace means God doesn't exist. Let me repeat that. Some people think that a space of grace, you know, no judgment falling, some people think that means God doesn't exist, and they're greatly mistaken. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days what? Scoffers, walking after what? Their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So some people will look at a space of grace, a time when God is showing his grace and not judging sin, and they'll look at that and say, see, God doesn't exist. Why, if God existed, he would pow. No, don't go along with their thinking. God is just giving them a space of grace to repent. So we have the scoffers thinking that a space of grace means God doesn't even exist. And then we have the professing Christians, you know, who are getting weary with all the sin and everything going on. And they begin to think a space of grace means that God really doesn't care if people obey his word or not. I mean, they believe that he exists. They've trusted him as Savior, but they begin to think that, well, you know what? Maybe we don't really have to follow the Bible as close as we think. You know, look at what's happening. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And so they begin to look at a space of grace like, well, the Bible says this, and God isn't enforcing it, so it must be he doesn't really care. That also is dangerous, because he does care. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. So we have to keep in the Bible, don't we? We have to keep reading. As frequently as you can and as I can, we need to keep reading through the Bible to keep refreshed of what God really does want. Because during this space of grace, do you realize on the federal level, abortion was legal for almost 50 years? And so that was a space of grace that I never thought God would give America. 50 years and tens of millions of babies slaughtered. That's a space of grace. I would have never guessed God would have allowed America to go that long. And, of course, China has gone even longer with forced abortions there. So some people think in a space of grace that, we try to follow exactly what the Bible says. Maybe it really doesn't matter to God. Oh, yes, it does matter. In Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, let your light what? So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but what? To fulfill. This is an important thing for us as Christians to get in our minds. The New Testament did not come along to destroy the Old Testament. The New Testament came along to fulfill the Old Testament, to fulfill those prophecies, to fulfill those types, those pictures, those illustrations. Sometimes people think, the Old Testament, that was just bad news, and so the New Testament came along to get rid of the bad news. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from what? The law till all be what? Fulfilled. Not till all be erased, but till all be fulfilled. Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these what? Least commandments and shall what? Teach men so. Someone comes along and teaches to break one of these least commandments. He shall be called what? The least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called what? Great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19 is one we need to grasp. Because in this age of grace, in this space of grace, there are a lot of Christians who don't grasp verse 19. They think we're in a time where we don't have to care about what God says specifically. It's just kind of a time of floating along, you know. It's kind of like the hawk. You know, there's been a lot of them around lately, and they just, you know, they just soar on the currents up there, back and forth, back and forth. And so Christians, if we're not careful, we get in the mode that, well, this is just the space of grace. God's just kind of lightened up on everything. We don't, you know, we're not held accountable for anything too drastic. You know, it's just a time just to enjoy. Well, our most enjoyment is when we're following Christ. That's when our greatest peace is. So let us not misinterpret a space of grace. It does not mean there's no God, and it does not mean that he doesn't care about his word. It just means that he has given space and time for lost sinners to repent and for us to take seriously what he has said. But if we go back to Revelation chapter 2, this Jezebel was not responding correctly to the space of grace, because God wasn't immediately judging this church. And Thyatira, she just went on teaching it was okay to commit fornication, teaching it was okay to commit idolatry. Just like there's a lot of teachings in churches today in the contemporary church that are not biblical, but they're being taught and they're drawing a good crowd. And so people think, how can you knock it? People are coming to church. Do you see the issue? This, it's a space of grace, and we forget what is important. So, I said to go back to Revelation 2. Well, let's go back to 2 Peter 3 just a moment. Sorry about that. 2 Peter chapter 3. So, I just wanted to show you that this Jezebel would not repent, but in 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, what? Will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great what? Noise. Have any of you been awakened this week by thunder? Yes. One of these days, there's going to be a great noise in the heavens, but it isn't going to be a thunderstorm. It's going to be the Lord from heaven, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all what? Holy conversation and what? Godliness. See, a space of grace does not mean God does not exist. A space of grace does not mean the Bible doesn't matter anymore. It's God giving people time. But now we can go back to Revelation 3. He gave this Jezebel time, and she would not repent. Verse 21, Revelation 2:21. I gave her what? Space to repent of her fornication. And she what? Repented not. So judgment would fall. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So, you know, it's bad enough when we don't respond to God's space of grace and repent. It's bad enough when we do not do that and then we face judgment. But you know what is worse? It's when we don't respond, and then judgment falls upon our children as well. Look at verse 23. And I will what? Kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. What's really sad is when children suffer because of our sin. When children suffer because of our mistakes. You know, I know it's extremely hard whenever a home breaks up. It's not easy on the husband or the wife. But I think I can safely say, and I think you would agree, it's always the hardest on the children. Always. They're forced to make a decision they don't want to make. They don't want to have to make the choice to be with dad or with mom. They don't want to make that choice. But they're faced, not because of what they have done, but the children. So this Jezebel's children would face death. And if you know, there are a lot of things that people, they don't care. They don't care about a lot of things, but many times when it comes to children being hurt, they have more of a heart. And so if we are so callous ourselves and we don't care about judgment falling upon ourselves, which is very foolish, but what about our children? What about their future? It is so sad. You think of Genesis chapter 3. And, with Adam and Eve, you know, they themselves were foolish. The Bible tells us that Eve was deceived. Adam was not. But they both sinned. They both received judgments. They both were foolish in what they did. But in Genesis 3 and verse 16, Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. If you've had a baby, you have had to suffer from what Eve did. You have suffered the pain of childbirth. Thank you, Eve. Well, we're not totally innocent either, are we? We are sinners ourselves. But you see, when Eve sinned, she not only suffered hardship through it, pain in childbirth, but every woman since her has suffered because of her sin. And then look at Adam, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is what? The ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. How many of you have ever planted a garden in a field and have had to deal with weeds and thorns and thistles? Thank you, Adam. Thanks a lot. You see, you know, because of his sin, he had to face that hardship. But not only him, us as well. Every one of us, in that effect, are children of Adam through Adam and Eve. That's why we're here. And we've suffered because of his sin. Verse 19, in the what? Sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. It talked about in the sweat of thy face. Have you ever sweat when you've worked? Thanks, Adam. Thanks a lot. Because that was one judgment upon him. Do you realize before he sinned, his job in the Garden of Eden was to dress it and keep it. You know, that's just the easy stuff. God planted the garden. His job just was to upkeep it. But because of Adam's sin, he'd break out in a sweat to work. You know, before sin, work was like hobby type stuff. You know, dressing and keeping the garden. Some people ask, you know, will we have anything to do in heaven? Yes, I'm sure, but it'll return back to pre-sin. It'll be more like the hobby type things. It'll be enjoyable things that God has for us to do. But yeah, thanks, Adam. Thanks for all that you've passed down upon us. But you know what? When we sin, we bring upon the same thing as this Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2. We bring down, if we don't respond to a space of grace, if we think, oh, God doesn't really care, he's letting me get away with this, judgment will fall. Chastisement will fall. And we'll wish we had responded to the space of grace. And then it is so sad that what we do then affects our children with hardships. That is sad. But in Revelation 2, not everyone was listening to this Jezebel. Not everyone was following this Jezebel. Praise God. There's some good news here. Revelation 2:24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine. So not everyone was believing what she was teaching. Not everyone was believing it was okay to commit fornication. Not everyone was believing it was okay to eat things offered to idols. As many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Isn't it good to know that God knows the burdens we face? Isn't that wonderful to know that God knows and cares? He just doesn't lump us all together with, you know, in America, there's some wicked, vile people. God is not lumping us all together with them. God knows. God knows your heart. And he says here to them, I will put upon you none other burden. You know, sometimes in groups or even sometimes in homes, a parent may say, well, I don't know which one of you did it, so you're all going to face this or that. God doesn't deal that way. And he didn't deal that way with the church in Thyatira. Verse 25 says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And then look at the good news here, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You know, they were sitting in a church where the wrong thing was going on. They were sitting in a church where a Jezebel was teaching the people, teaching them unscriptural things. This Jezebel in the church was over them. But look what he promised them in verse 26. Listen, I know you haven't believed that doctrine. You haven't known the depths of Satan, verse 24. In verse 26, listen, to you I will give power over the nations. There's going to come a day when you are not oppressed by someone trying to force you to do something that is unbiblical. Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. You see, in the millennium is the thousand-year reign of Christ upon earth. Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, and we will rule and reign with him. And upon earth, God's will be done. God's word will be followed. God's word will be enforced. That's why it pictures Jesus with a rod of iron during that time. So take heart. We're in a space of grace here. And because of it, people are saying, oh, God doesn't even exist. And other people are saying, the Bible doesn't matter. Look what God is allowing. No, God wants to encourage our hearts. The Bible is important. It is important to follow the word of God. There will be a reward for doing so. Verse 28, and I will give him what? The morning star. The morning star, the thing that's easy to see. You know, God wants us to be lights. I know some of you might be introverts. Some of you might be extroverts. I often tell people, before God called me to go into the ministry, I would be classified an introvert. I was not someone that enjoyed standing up in front of people. I would just as soon be off by myself, doing something by myself, and I didn't like big crowds. Some of you young people are planning honeymoons. My wife and I went on a honeymoon to Florida, and we had decided, this was before Disney World was so perverted, but we decided to go to Disney World, and you can ask my wife, we went to Disney World that morning, and we got there, and to me it looked like a million people was descending from cars onto the gates, and I said to her, I said, let's go back to the motel. I thought, forget it. There might be a lot of fun in there, but I don't want to fight those big crowds. So maybe you're like that too. Maybe you don't. But you know what? God wants us to shine for him. And that's the only reason I enjoy talking to people. You know, a lot of people trying to get up conversations with people is because I know the Lord wants us to invest our lives in people, to be a good influence on them, to try to win them to Christ. Now, if you hold your place here, notice with me in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. God wants us to be lights. And I know you might not enjoy Matthew 5:16. I know you might not be a person that enjoys necessarily, you know, being that one that starts the conversations and so on. But verse 16, Matthew 5:16, let what? Your light what? So shine before men that they may see what? your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. In every area of our lives, we're not trying to get the limelight on us, but to glorify God. Whether it's in our music, we're not trying to come up with music that glorifies us. What does it say here? Glorify your Father, which is that we want music that glorifies Jesus. Everything we do in life, it's not that we want people to notice us. We want people to notice Him. That's why I try to tell people everywhere I go, the Lord bless you. Because I know from the Old Testament, when Joseph interpreted a dream, he said, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Daniel did the same thing before Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what? Both of those important, powerful men, Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar, remembered that short little phrase that Joseph and Daniel said. And both of those powerful leaders gave the glory to God. And so I try to do that every place I go. The Lord bless you. I want them to remember that phrase, and I pray for them. I try to pray for them then when I leave. God bless that person this day and help them to think back. Why did this day go so well? Help them to think back to that phrase. Someone said somewhere, God bless you. It must have been God. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. So in Revelation 2:28, not everyone had given in to Jezebel. And so Revelation 2:20, and I will give him the what? The morning star. So I'm sorry if you're more introverted, but you know what? God wants to shine through you. God wants to shine through you. And if you're extroverted, you may have to be a little more cautious that they know it's God shining through you and not just you. But God wants each of us to be a morning star. You can see that in the sky. It's bright. It's shining. So who does this apply to? Verse 29. He that hath what? An ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, don't take what I've said and try to run with it further. I'm not saying that God has called women to be preachers. We've just talked about Jezebel doing that. I'm not saying that. We all have roles, but get what I'm saying. In our roles in life, in our biblical roles in life, God wants us to shine. Sister Laura went to a woman, she was at home that day, and she was praying that God would bring someone to her home. And Sister Laura showed up there as an answer to prayer. And what a wonderful thing. So you see what I mean? In whatever role and realm we are in, God wants us to shine. He wants us to be a morning star there for Him. We shouldn't discount anything. This afternoon at 1:19 p.m., Juliana from Brazil was on our website and got saved after reading one of the tracks. And so whatever realm, whatever we can do, remember what God said of the woman that anointed him. She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Let's do that this week. Let's do what we can. Let's shine for Jesus Christ. And let's remember a space of grace. We're living in the age of grace, but a space of grace. During a time like that, there are going to be some people that deny that God even exists because judgment is not falling upon sin. There's going to be many people that deny that the Bible is really important to follow because in a space of grace, well, people are doing that which is right in their own eyes. But can you see with me tonight the Church of Thyatira? It's so important to continue doing right. It's so important to continue following the Word of God. One day, so it'll be worth it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Lord, thank you for this woman from Brazil that was saved this afternoon. Father, I just pray that you would help us. Help us to remember that in a space of grace like we are in right now, that you want to use us. That you want us to shine. And that in a space of grace, the Bible still is important. You do care. But you're giving people space to repent. And now, Lord, please speak to our hearts. If there is something in our hearts that you are giving us space to repent and we don't seem to be doing anything about it, we don't seem to be repenting. Lord, please, if there's anything like that, please bring it up to our hearts, lest chastisement and judgment fall upon us. Lord, please take and use us. And Father, if there should be any here tonight that have never been saved, help them to realize tonight that Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless, holy life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, buried and then rose in victory the third day, proving that his blood, his pure and holy blood, was enough to wash away our sins. Please let no one here tonight reject you during this space of grace. Lord, encourage our hearts and use us this week, we pray in Jesus' name.